Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while,
we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What? You didn't think we were going to talk about it? This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to Gay Perry, shall we? And when I say Gay Perry, I mean Gay Perry. Did you catch the opening ceremony? Hey, no agenda there. It was just all about sports and bashing Christianity. Other than that, it was a perfectly fine family event for all to enjoy, a pagan ceremony. Have you ever wondered what would it have been like to live in one of those cultures, Greece or Rome, when debauchery was put an unshamed public display? Well, you kind of got the gist if you watched the opening ceremony, because it was full of debaucherous messaging and images, not the least of which, of course, was the Lord's Supper. It was a table that was populated by, Jimmy, why don't you just go ahead and tell everybody what that looked like?
I don't have words.
Didn't watch it, did you?
Well, no, I didn't watch it.
Well, that would be why you don't have words, but you read about it.
Read about it. I saw pictures.
I watched seconds of it because it's like, okay, hot shower. I need a bath after that one because, wow, it was clearly depicted as the Lord's table, a total mockery. I don't know. It was a human being addressed like a transgender person, which, of course, has its own distinct style that no woman ever dons, with a crown, King Jesus. And then these people were different gender expressions kind of oozing around the table sensually. Yeah. Thanks, Olympics. That presentation of the Lord's Supper was so bad.
How bad was it?
Well done, Jimmy. Well done. Even Andy Stanley critiqued it. That's how bad it was.
For a little while.
Yeah. Till he gets some pushback, then he'll probably acquiesce. Even he found it to be offensive. His response basically was a critique because, hey, if you recall, you got yourself a big old cemetery there, about 170 acres, populated with a couple hundred thousand crosses, because these are Americans who sacrificed their lives so that you were not overrun by Nazi Germany. So you owe Christendom and the West an apology. Well, okay, can't critique what was said, but a pastor should be calling them out because of their sin, not necessarily because of the offense. Oh, we can certainly do that. But if we're going to be genuinely prophetic, hey, organizers of the Olympics, everybody who thought that was a good idea, you just mocked the King of Kings. You just made fun of the one who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins that you might have everlasting life. We strongly encourage you to repent. Turn from your sins. Put your trust in the living God. That, to me, is a Christian response, as opposed to just kind of a general observation that could have been made on pretty much any political talk show. And nevertheless, it wasn't the only biblical imagery at the opening ceremonies. There are some who would say there was a pale horse, as described in Revelation, in the book of Revelation. Was it the pale horse? Maybe. Is that what they intended? I don't know. Perhaps. But the issue that I would take with it are the people who are saying that definitely that was the pale horse as described in Revelation. I'm pretty sure it's chapter 6. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Because when all of those descriptors about the four horses, when that goes down, we're all going to know it. It's not going to be happening in Paris at the Olympic ceremony. And it is going to be a spectacle, even more of a spectacle than the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. This is not that, noticing that trend. Have you, where we see something in culture and then we go find a Bible verse to say this is that, saw that last week. And it wasn't just Jensen Franklin. It was a number of high-profile preachers who said that the near assassination of Donald Trump was akin to the ceremony that anointed Aaron and his sons for the Aaronic priesthood, because blood from a ram sacrifice. Okay, so here, let's start here. You had to have a ram sacrifice, and then the blood was dabbed on to Aaron and his son's ears, his hand, his thumb, and then also on his big toe. And these pastors have observed, Donald Trump had blood on his ear. He put his hand on his ear, and he got blood on his thumb, and his shoes fell off. See, this is that, except it isn't. That's simply not the way the Bible was written. Seen a number of those things regarding the pale horse. Ah, there's a fulfillment of that? No, I don't think that it was. We've got to be doing a little better at using our Bibles rather than pointing a text that we somehow unearth because it has a semblance. As I pointed out, we made a YouTube video on it. I thought it was so preposterous that pastors would actually say Donald Trump getting shot in the ear is akin to the consecration ceremony of the Aaronic priesthood. There's another difference, by the way. He wasn't becoming an Aaronic priest. It was so ridiculous. I had to comment. There were a number of elements that were missing. We do this. Ezekiel bread is another example. We make a bread that is a healthy bread that has some of the ingredients, although we weren't given measurements when Ezekiel bread was given. Leaves out a couple of details. First of all, it's supposed to be cooked over originally human feces as a bread of judgment. And then God said, all right, won't do that. How's about human dung? Cook it over human dung. I doubt Ezekiel bread is baked that way, and I'm glad for it. But that's another detail that would say this is not that. It must be total. It must be complete. If you are going to say that this, whatever text it is in the Bible, is this today, it better match perfectly. It better be every single jot and tittle. Ram's blood was shed. The blood was put on the ear. It didn't flow from the, they didn't cut Aaron's ear or shoot it with a bullet. Instead, that was dabbed on. This is not that. There was a wafer, there was a wave offering, so many details that weren't there. And yet these preachers who would say this is that wouldn't do that necessarily with the pale horse. But I do believe that you and I might do well to consider how it is that we are going to respond to these increasingly blasphemous images. We ain't done. The Olympic ceremony, international. I do have some good news. This is really good news. Jimmy, we're breaking this one here. The closing ceremony, It's going to mock Muhammad and his 8-year-old wife. That's what they're going to do.
Not a chance.
Oh, wait. Wow. No, why? It's just Christianity, which is one of the responses I think we can have. There's a number of them. I do believe righteous indignation. It is indeed warranted. What we do with that, we'll address in a moment. But I'm actually, in an annoyed way, encouraged by it. Not that I'm happy they did it, but why Jesus? Why the Lord's table? Why not Islam? Why not Hinduism? Why not Buddhism? Why aren't they making fun of the Buddha? Why don't they have some guy with a big belly running around with something sexual painted on his belly or dancing suggestively and provocatively with other scantily clothed, big-bellied people? Why not? Because they don't go to war against an ally. They're on the same team. A false religious system is no different per se than a secular pagan system. It's godless. It doesn't worship the true and living God. Therefore, it is darkness, and darkness does not go to war against darkness. And that is why we saw that aggressive assault against Christianity, because Jesus galls them. oh, they can pretend, oh, he was a nice teacher. We like, no, they hate him. They hate his guts a lot. And they hate his religion and they hate his church. And as agitated as we are by it, nevertheless, we should, I think, be affirmed in our faith. Why not the other ones? Come on, Perry. Show us that you're really bold. You know us to be individuals who are not going to set off bombs in Paris, but you do know that the Muslims have and will do that. They don't have courage. They're cowards. Furthermore, they hate our Savior. And I'm afraid I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But we should anticipate more of this. And as we do, two thoughts for your consideration. Number one, be encouraged. You're not going to see this against the false systems because they pose no danger or threat to the lascivious lifestyle of pagans. Number two, should we have righteous indignation? And the answer to that question, in my opinion, is yeah, but absolutely. But why? Why should we be angry at what was done at the Paris Olympics opening ceremony? And how do we determine if that anger is sinful or not? And what do we do with it the next day? Next on Wretched Radio.
All right, listen up, folks. I've got some exciting news for you because if you've been looking to share the gospel and make a real impact, then we've got the perfect thing for you at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Of course, you've heard about our gospel booklets. First, there's Are You a Rotten Fish? Perfect for helping you spot the difference between true and false converts. Next, we've got Don't Stub Your Toe. This booklet makes evangelism a breeze. But wait, there's more. The Man Who Split Time proves once and for all that Jesus is God. 22 proofs in this booklet that will have even the most skeptical of skeptics scratching their head. And last, but certainly not least, 13 reasons why you should not commit suicide. So what are you waiting for? Head over to wretched.org and stock up on these life-changing gospel booklets. Your friends, your family, and even complete strangers will thank you for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Gospel booklets available now at wretched.org.
I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Master's Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. 10,000 John MacArthur Study Bibles were sent courtesy of you. How sweet is that? Heaven is just going to rock. You're going to be sitting at a table. What's your name? It'll be somebody with a Filipino name. Oh, Philippines. You know what? I remember a long time ago, there was a Bible campaign through wretched.org/Bible where we sent MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. You gave to that? I received a MacArthur Study Bible in the Philippines. No way! So if you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Master's Academy International trains pastors internationally, 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
Important dates in Christian history. 716 AD. Boniface, the Apostle of Germany, sets out as a missionary to bring the gospel to pagan lands. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Christianity found shelter and thrived in Europe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the encouraged and agitated version of Wretched Radio, the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Offensive to Christians? Absolutely. Are we encouraged that we're the religion that gets picked on? In a sense, yeah. Because we see the pagans acting out against the only true and living God. They have no necessity in going after Allah. Because Allah, the religious system of Islam, is on their side. Because it is all about God and everything else. You're either in Christ or you are out. Just a reminder, Jimmy, I think you brought this to my attention last week. The number of times that we see the term in Christ in the New Testament, 160 some times.
64.
It was 64?
No, 164.
164.
Correct.
Zoink Scoob, it must be a big deal. And if you are not for him, you're against him. Jesus made that plain. That was like a stake in the ground. You can pretend that you're keen on Jesus, that if he were to write fortune cookies, you'd read them and maybe get a little buzz from them. But if you're not for him, you're against him. You can call him a good teacher, you're still against him. Until you bow the knee to King Jesus, you are against him. And every religious system is against him. Every pagan system is against him. They're all on the same team. The one that is outside of Christ, they hate him. And so when we see them mocking him, and wow, there was some mockery going on at the opening ceremonies, it should simply affirm we're following the only true and living God. Having said that, should we have righteous indignation? It's funny, back to back, I received two emails. One happened to be from Paul Todges, the other from a very dear friend of mine, Hyland Goodman, who was writing about the Olympics from a number of years ago. This was back in 2004 when the Olympics were in Athens. He knew somebody there who was stabbed. He had a friend whose child was stabbed at the Olympics in Athens. I don't even know if you remember that. And the dad responded so biblically to it. He said that that bitterness and his Christian faith could not coexist. Well, good news. Nobody got stabbed at the Parisian Olympics, although I would encourage us to be praying for the safety of all of the evangelists, not the least of which would be Living Waters, who are busy passing out gospel tracts in godless Paris. Nobody's been harmed like they were in 2004. Nevertheless, the offenses that we have already seen coming out of the Olympics against Jesus Christ, it should cause us to ask a question. All right, is my response compatible with my Christian faith? How do we feel when we see Jesus Christ mocked? And the answer is we should be righteously indignant. This is from Paul Todges, giving us the definition for righteous anger. Righteous anger reacts against actual sin. It arises from an accurate perception of evil defined biblically as a violation of God's word. It does not result from merely being inconvenienced or from violations or preferences or human tradition. It is provoked by actual, not imagined wrongs. So you can't be CRT Gnostic. I think that person who just walked by didn't like me. Well, you don't know, so you just tuck that away under I don't know. But you don't get indignant over it. There's no righteous anger from a perceived slight. It is when something sinful actually happens. Now, note, it doesn't mean you have to get righteously indignant at every sin you see. That's all we do all day. But there are some things, as we define righteous anger more, that should cause us to be angry. Number two from Todges. Righteous anger focuses on God and his kingdom, rights and concerns. Not on me, not on my kingdom, not my rights, not my concerns. That's a good word, isn't it? That we can't get angry when somebody does something agitating to us. We're to love. That's how we're to love. But when God is slighted, when God's name is taken in vain, when God is mocked at the Olympic opening ceremonies, that would qualify. Why? Because that is a sin against God. God-centered, not self-centered motives drive righteous anger. Focuses on how people offend God and his name, not you and your name. Does the Olympic ceremony qualify for that? Yeah, I think it does. Number three, righteous anger is accompanied by other godly qualities and expresses itself in godly ways. Oh, this is the hard part right here. Because I can do anger really well. Oh, those idiots. Oh, those heathens. That's not how I'm called to respond. Righteous anger remains self-controlled. It keeps its head without cursing, screaming, raging, flying off the handle. Nor does it spiral downward in self-pity or despair. It does not ignore people, snub people, or withdraw from people. Sinful anger gives people the silent treatment. Righteous anger does not. Well, there's a lot of practical application contained in that descriptor, isn't it? When you're married and you have all kinds of opportunities to be agitated, doesn't qualify for righteous anger. Because remember, anger that isn't righteous is, you know, unrighteous. Yep, I wrote that myself. If I'm just getting mad at people because they cut me off, God wasn't slighted. I was inconvenienced. I mean, I had to move my foot about 6 inches from the gas pedal to the brake pedal while screaming, "You don't brake on freeways!" I was slighted. God wasn't. And that'll happen in your home a lot. It's funny. Met a lovely young couple at church on Sunday. They were both glowing because they're engaged. And we were talking about their marital counseling, preparing them for the sin that would be happening in their house. They were such a rarity because they really grasped, this is going to happen. The veneer that I see right now, it's going to have some chips, and I'm going to see underneath it, and it's going to get pretty ugly. They were aware of that, but they don't really yet know what that looks like until they actually say, "I do," and they start cohabitating. And wow, is there opportunity for sin and agitation and annoyance and frustration, and it can be ridiculous. And guess what? We don't get to be angry because it's not a slight against God. It might even be a sin against you, but if it is not a sin against God, we don't get to be angry. That's righteous indignation. Even if our anger passes all three tests, writes Todges, we must not remain there. Do not let the sun go down on your anger compels us to address our anger and its sinful expressions immediately. This implies that we work through our interpersonal conflicts as soon as possible, as Jesus also commands. In other words, when you get righteously indignant from the Olympic ceremony, be done with it that day. It's time to move on.org. If you linger there, you are setting yourselves up for satanic problems. No, we're not getting all, he's behind every bush. But Satan, he will try to take ground in your heart. Because if you let it simmer, it turns into something else. It becomes, dun, 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 bitterness. And you do not want bitterness in your heart. And if you let it linger there, the righteous indignation for a day, you're going to be like Esau. His resentment? He wanted to murder his brother. Whoa, how did that happen? Bitterness will turn you into a murderer. Not by taking somebody's life, but by you murder them with your attitude, with your heart, with your lack of love, with your hopes for them, that it will not go well with them. Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Whoa, here's put off, put on, Prince. All that stuff, bitterness, the nastiest of nasties that can get into your heart, it breeds a big family. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. That's why we got to get this stuff out of there. And it might not be the Olympic ceremony, but maybe something somebody did at church. Get the anger out of there. Instead, you need to put on tenderheartedness. Here's the key. Forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. If we don't want to become bitter people who will then exhibit wrath, anger, clamor, and slander, let's be righteously angry when appropriate. But then we got to let it go that day. And if we don't, then we put ourselves in peril. This is not about not recognizing the wickedness that was portrayed at the opening ceremony. It's about honoring God by having recognized that he was righteously offended and that we are indignant because of it, but because we are called to be a different people who are not bitter. We gotta let it go. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a victory for common sense and fiscal responsibility, the University of Alabama is closing its diversity, equity, and inclusion offices on three campuses. A state law was passed earlier this year that prohibits the use of taxpayer dollars for such divisive initiatives. The university will replace these offices with new divisions focused on promoting success for all students rather than favoring certain groups over others. Isn't that what makes most sense? In related news, over 30 states have introduced legislation to eliminate DEI programs from education. It's about time our institutions of higher learning focus on the higher learning part of it, like academic excellence, rather than stoking the fires of division and resentment. And the U.S. has reached a sobering milestone as our national debt has hit $35 trillion. That astronomical figure equates to over $104,000 per person. That's runaway spending, and it's a clear reminder of how much of a responsible government we actually need. In California, Planned Parenthood and the other left-leaning organizations are opposing a bill that would ban child marriage in the state. What? The groups, which claim to protect children, mind you, are fighting against a measure that would prevent minors under 18 from getting married. Their reasoning? Well, it's bodily autonomy for minors, completely ignoring the potential for exploitation and abuse in child marriages. And lastly, coming out of Texas, a troubling incident gives us a reminder of the consequences of what we're doing at the southern border. A police officer was shot multiple times during a shootout with an individual who had entered the country illegally and been released by Border Patrol. The suspect, a 25-year-old Venezuelan national, had been apprehended in November last year and then released with a court date set for April 2026. Yeah, 2026. That's about par for the course, isn't it? And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Olympic Jewish karma? This is Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you didn't see this headline. Judo Olympian refuses to shake Israeli athlete's hand and instead shouted, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because, of course, this judo competitor from Tajikistan is a Muslim, and he refused to shake the hand of his filthy opponent. Did you hear about that story? Probably not. But hey, speaking of Gaza, close enough for this program. Did you see the video of a young comedian? I think his name, Zach Fox. There it is, Zach Fox. He went to Gaza and he decided to take his microphone. You know how these street interviews go, and he goes around and he just talks to people. What he heard helps us understand why the Muslim from Tajikistan wouldn't shake the hand of his Jewish competitor.
For months now, millions of people around the world have been chanting Free Palestine. Well, I've decided to see Palestine. Welcome to the Wild West Bank.
There's a little graphic. Since 10/7, almost no outside reporters have gone to, air quotes, Palestine. Until now.
Are you supportive of Hamas?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Are most Palestinians?
Yeah.
Palestinian people like Hamas.
I'm with the resistance.
Did you see the videos they posted of what they did on October 7th?
Everything.
And you're okay with all that?
With everything they did.
They killed innocent Israelis. They killed... Yes,
no.
They did.
No.
Yes, they did.
Give me a picture for rape.
And there's a picture right there.
Do you think Hamas should release the Israeli hostages?
No.
No. No.
Wow.
Nothing's named Israel.
There's nothing named Israel?
Yeah.
The Quran mentions Israel over 100 times.
Oh.
Is Palestine mentioned in the Quran?
No.
No. The murders Hamas did on October 7th, is that okay?
Yes.
They have the right to do it.
The problem is not Hamas. We should look at the bigger picture.
They are living under occupation.
But Israel left Gaza in 2005.
True.
What does Antifada mean?
Violent.
And neither one of us were born anywhere near 1940. We have to deal with the reality today.
No.
No, don't deal with the reality today.
Britain brought all the criminal Jews since 1948. They can go back. Holland, Iraq.
Most of those places, wow, they were kicked out.
Jews have not been killed or exposed to any struggle or any violence.
Not almost every country in the Middle East.
No.
No, that's true.
Educate yourself.
Oh. Just showing graphics of the warfare in the Middle East and who is always attacked. It's the Jewish state of Israel.
If they are kicked, it's because of their own actions.
What did they do besides being Jewish?
They steal, they do all awful deeds.
Does anyone here hate Hamas? In the U.S., it's a big movement right now, Queers for Palestine. Are you supportive of that?
No, we don't have it.
You don't have gay people here?
No.
No. No.
It's like an alien. It would not be accepted.
No, to be honest with you, no.
Do you want to live with the Israelis in peace? Or
no, no, I want one state solution, not Israel.
So no more Israel?
Yes.
Israel wiped off the map?
Palestine, fakat.
We should delete Israel.
So you would not be okay with a two-state solution?
Of course not.
Israeli prisoners, when they released from Gaza, they was smiling.
You think that these people are genuinely smiling after being held hostage? They're scared about their life.
Who put this in your brain?
I think you're in denial about Hamas. So Hamas implements strict Sharia law. It looks like in Ramallah, at least, you're free to show your hair. Would you want Hamas to be in charge?
They would allow for elections.
But
why not?
They haven't had elections in Gaza in 20 years. That's a fact.
Yikes. Oh, man, Scylla. Is that ever revealing? Zach Fox, he's the comedian. I'm sure you can find it on the YouTube machine. Doesn't look like it was radically edited, but the people on the streets of, air quotes, Palestine, they hate Jewish people. They hate Jewish people. Why is it the political party that supposedly is opposed to anybody hating anybody is awfully silent, in fact, supportive of Gaza? Speaking of the religion of peace, Hinduism, you say, wait a second, it's Islam that's the religion of peace. No, it's also Hindu. Headline from the Christian Post: Hindus seize Bibles from children and beat women in attack on worship service. Oh, isn't that nifty? Please note, right now in India, Hindu nationalism is on the rise. Their president, the prime minister, is absolutely in a race to make Hindu the national religion of India. And guess who they don't like? Muslims and Christians. And it shows up regularly. If you know a missionary to India, ask them what it's like. How's their safety? How free are they? And the answer is not very. From the article, they beat 50 people. These are Hindus. They beat 50 people gathered for fasting prayer, including women and children. They seized the Bibles from the children. The pastor reports the children and women were crying, shouting, asking them to stop, but they forcefully dragged them out of my house. When I tried to stop the mob from attacking the women and children, they pushed me off and threatened me that they would kill me if I conducted church prayers in the village again. That's Hinduism. Don't think that they cannot be violent. This is an individual, 54 years old. They're calling him Noorji, N-O-O-R-J-I. He was pushed a few meters in front of the pastor's house. They started pelting him with stones. He was isolated from the congregation. They chased him away by a few meters and started pelting stones at him, said the pastor. Then they pointed at Noorji and warned the members that whoever gathers for prayers would be stoned to death. They scared the children almost by pointing to Noorji, saying, "Look at him. This could be you if you come to prayers again." You know, that's an age-old tactic. You make one the example to scare the many. I'm sorry, I'm kind of thinking about Queen Mary. This is what she did. She thought, if I make a public display of these professing Protestants, it'll scare everybody away. It had the exact opposite effect because people realized, whoa, these Protestants mean it. They're willing to die for their faith. So I guess that was Catholic nationalism is what that was. He has not fully recovered back to India. The treatment has been very expensive. He's only a laborer and earns daily wages for his livelihood. His entire family, apparently believers, they went to the police station where the police, of course, sided with the assailants. India ranked 11th on Christian Support Organization Open Doors 2024 World Watch list of countries that make it difficult to be a Christian. They were 31st in 2013, but it's gotten bad since Prime Minister Modi came to power. The only religion that is genuinely peaceful is the Christian religion. No, I didn't include Roman Catholicism. They've shown themselves to be bellicose. We all know about the Crusades and the wars in Europe. But Protestants are the peace promoters. Hindu, they can be violent. Islam, violent. And it is getting difficult for our missionaries in India to reach people with the gospel. Although I will say this. There's a really good export out of India. Okay, I will admit this. We're watching this show, and in the third season, somebody actually dropped the F-bomb. Only time we ever heard it. But nevertheless, we watched this show, and we're just fascinated by it. I think I've talked about it before, but because it's a new season, gonna talk about it again. It's a Hindu dating, an Indian dating show. Jimmy, have you ever seen the Indian dating show?
I have not.
Fascinating, because first of all, it's just assumed they're going to marry another Indian. It's funny, liberals don't decry that as being racist. Nevertheless, they want to date somebody, usually from their own caste, which is a reminder, the Hindu system of castes. You're born into that caste, you will stay in that caste. No upward mobility for you. Once again, liberals are silent. But this Indian matchmaker, love what she says. Because she'll talk to these Indians that are looking for a spouse, whether it's in America or in London. What is it you are looking for? Well, I want somebody who likes to climb mountains, writes poetry, can cook Italian food really well, has a master's degree in something or another, speaks Hindi, and really likes family. And her response inevitably is the same. You will not get all of these things. 60%. You find 60% and you are satisfied. You will not find all of these things. You do not understand what marriage is. And then she said something that, okay, it wasn't like, oh, that's good to hear because it's like a good thing. But she expressed something about her observation about Indian young people that, dear mom and dad, living in the West, it just might make you feel a little bit better. Next on Wretched Radio. You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Dr. Greg Giffert, the biblical counseling whisperer who makes Freud look like an amateur. And then there's Dr. Andrew Walker. He's an ethics extraordinaire who can tell you why lying and monopoly is actually bad for your soul. Next, Dr. Jason Lyle, our very own rocket scientist. Seriously, he's got a PhD in astrophysics and reads the universe like a bedtime story. Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press, will keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more, and let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And you thought it was just you, silly rabbit. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're one of the parents among many these days whose children have gone off the reservation. They were raised in a Christian home, taught to love Jesus, but now it's been revealed they hate him. And they've gone astray, and perhaps they've ghosted you. And if they haven't, your relationship is likely rather tenuous, and you need to be rather strategic, hence the popularity of a book. Saw it on Amazon. Still drives me bonkers. Parental doormats. These days with your kids, man, if you're not prepared to be a doormat, don't expect them to come home and talk to you. And yet, Christian parents increasingly feel that. Because their kids won't talk to them unless they affirm everything that they say, do, and think. If that hasn't happened to you, ask a friend. It is little doubt that you know somebody who has been a very good Christian parent. And their kids, they make their own decisions. And they stray. And then they treat their parents horribly. And then their parents bend over backwards to be accommodating, to never offer any parental wisdom. That's a loss for a young person. And if they say anything that is deemed to be toxic, look out, you get ghosted. Maybe this will make you feel a little bit better. Was watching an Indian dating show. I understand there's a Jewish dating show too. We're going to watch it. The Indian dating show was fascinating because the woman who's been matchmaking for people for 20 years, by the way, no outcry on the whoever produces this thing that there's a matchmaker connecting young people. Oh, if that were Christianity, oh, the outrage. Nevertheless, this woman travels the globe trying to connect young people. And she's a realist about marriage. Now, she does not have the right foundation. She's okay with total blind arranged marriages because you just need to get along and you'll figure it out. Well, she's accommodated that to a degree for what they call love marriages, where it's not arranged, but you meet somebody and you fall in love with them. Well, she matchmakes and she meets with these young people and she tries to bring a little realism to them, letting them know if you're looking for Prince Charming, you ain't going to find him. And if you're looking for Princess Buttercup, she doesn't exist. So get used to it. Just lower your expectations. It's fascinating. And these young people, you just watch them. The episode that we just saw, this young woman was Auntie Seema. I think that's what she called it. Auntie Seema. Seema Auntie. It's her first name. And then it's Auntie. Seema Auntie. You just don't understand. We just don't do things that way anymore. And then they interviewed the young woman after receiving wisdom from a woman who appears to be in her 60s. Well, Seema Auntie, she just doesn't understand. You know, she kind of comes from old school. So, you know, she needs to kind of get with my program. Okay. Then they showed Seema Auntie having breakfast with her sister. It was beans on toast, if you'd like to know. Oh, who thought that was a good idea? And the sister asked, the matchmaking sister, "What have you noticed a difference in young people? Have you seen a change?" And she said, "Yes, I have. They simply do not want to hear from people who are older. They simply do not want to take advice. They believe that they know everything and they'd reject everything and they're very foolish." That's India. And there was a part of me that said, while it's a bummer, okay, it's not just the West. It's a global phenomenon. I have no doubt if they have a free internet in China, it's happening there. And it's happening in Tajikistan. It's happening everywhere because social media tells a younger generation, cut those ties from those old idiots. And they are. And I thought maybe mom and dad, if you've been the one on the receiving end of kids who believe that they know it all, and you're just these Christian noodle heads. It wasn't you. It wasn't you. This is happening wherever social media runs rampant. It is going on around the globe. So perhaps you can be encouraged by that. And speaking of missionaries to India, hey, we were speaking about missionaries to India. Would like to share with you something that I think we should be interested in. And if you're not, it could be an indicator that we should have an interest in this. It was Protestants. I believe the first missionary, the one who started sending people, was Count von Zinzendorf, the Moravians. They started sending missionaries. And I believe, was he the one who wrote, "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun"? Jimmy, would you look that up and see if Zinzendorf wrote that? "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun." And speaking of hymns, yes, I'm taking a bit of an excursus. We sang a hymn Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. It was amazing because nobody knew the hymn. And I picked it. I've actually shared that hymn before here on Wretched Radio. It talks about what the law does and what the gospel does, and how the twain shall not meet. The law drives you to the cross, but once you have surrendered to King Jesus, the law has no authority over you. Yes, it's a mirror, it's a curb, it's a guide, but it has no authority over you. And the hymn that we sang was exactly about that, because we used to write hymns about that, that there's a distinction between the law and the gospel. And if you confuse them, if you confound them in any way, you are going to run into trouble. And you need this distinction. You can't read the Sermon on the Mount with having a clear understanding of the law-gospel distinction. You'll just make a hash of it. It is such an important, we'll call it theology, the law-gospel distinction. All the reformers understood this. They got this, so they wrote hymns about it. And we sang one. And it was not a familiar melody. And kudos to everybody at ABC because they sang it. It was funny. I think we sang four verses. And the first verse, it was pretty quiet because nobody knew the melody. Second verse got a little louder. Third verse, it's like, okay, I'm getting this. I think I can do that. And then the fourth verse, people were singing because they became familiar with the tune. Because it's worth singing stuff that's theologically rich, even though we might not be familiar with it. How could we not sing a song about the law-gospel distinction when the sermon was about the law-gospel distinction? So music used to be something that was so much more theologically rich. Jesus shall reign where the Son. Jimmy, where'd that come from?
Isaac Watts.
No, it did not.
1719.
Okay, so who is, what is it? Look up hymns, Count von Zinzendorf. He wrote a missionary hymn, but it was Isaac Watts. Jesus shall reign where'er the Son. Do you got the lyrics to that one, by the way? Jesus shall reign where'er the Son.
I do.
Hit me.
Jesus shall reign where'er the Son does its successful journeys run.
Journeys, okay.
His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more.
Mm-hmm.
To him shall endless prayer be made and praises throng to crown his head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise with every morning sacrifice. People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song. And infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name.
All right, I got another Google for you. I know you're Googling Count von Zinzendorf. We long to see thy churches filled. That's another hymn. We long to see thy churches filled. We should care about missionary activity whilst Jimmy Googles the state of global missions 2024. Here's an update. The prosperity gospel, the number one growth sector in air quotes Christendom. The prosperity gospel being mixed with animism. It really feeds on people's desire to be rich. Remember, if you are one who is a lover of money, you don't have to be rich. Poor people can be lovers of money too. The prosperity gospel feeds right into that, and it is the number one fastest growing, air quotes, form of Christianity on the globe. Another mission trend, we're seeing nations that once received missionaries now sending missionaries like South Korea. That's cool. Technological advances, that's helping. Uh-oh. Decreasing missionary resilience. In other words, it gets hard and they don't stay. They leave. They've noticed a trend that the endurance of missionaries on the field, it is not as long as it once was. Wow, what a good time to talk about the Master's Academy International, where they train indigenous men in their zip codes to rightly divide the word of truth and fill empty pulpits. We need more of those guys trained. Learn more about the Master's Academy International. It's the bomb diggity, wretched.org/pastor. And finally, another opportunity to plug TMAI. The population is growing way faster than the number of preachers. Wretched.org/pastor. Jimmy.
Yes.
You got the von Zinzendorf missionary hymn?
Yes.
It's called
Pity the Nations.
Pity the Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me.
Pity the nations, O our God, constrain the earth to come. Send thy victorious word abroad and bring the strangers home. We long to see thy churches full.
There it is.
That thy chosen race with one voice and heart and soul sing thy redeeming grace.
Yeah, don't write them like that anymore. We should care about global missions. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.